Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to everyone's favorite show about plastic surgery, health, and beauty. This is Nip Talk. We got some great segments today. First off, why are young people today looking older? We're going to dive into that. And then next, nipple reduction surgery in men and other weird plastic surgeries. And then finally, Sarah had her first Botox experience, and she's going to tell us all about it, and it's all coming up right now.
Live from Lincoln Center in the heart of the Dallas Metroplex, this is Nip Talk. An honest and uncensored show about plastic surgery, health, beauty, and lifestyle with your host, plastic surgeon Dr. Bruce Herman, and your co-host, entrepreneur and social media influencer Sarah Bennett. Now it's time to discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the topics everyone is talking about. It's time for Nip Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We really, really do appreciate it. Please hit that like and subscribe button because it helps us so much. I'm your host, plastic surgeon, Dr. Bruce Herman. With me, as always, is the amazing Sarah.
Hi.
Looking like you just came off the set of Friends.
Oh, yeah.
You look great.
With my little vest.
Yeah, you look great. In the box, we got Travis. How are you, man? You good in there?
I'm good. How about y'all?
I'm doing good. It was kind of an adventure getting in today with the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little...
The expressway the whole time. Yeah. My GPS was like, take this way because it's 19 minutes faster. And I was like, I can't because I'm on the expressway. But I was already going. Right. It didn't pick up that I was on the expressway.
Yeah, sometimes it does know. It gets confused. Yeah. Well, I'll let everyone in on a little secret. Today's episode, we always record live, but today's episode isn't live because of spring break and me mostly being out of town.
Mm-hmm.
No reason I mention that is more people are commenting on the live shows, so if we don't respond, we love your comments, so please comment. We want to see them because we do read them, but ours is, it's not live today, so a little secret, but
Oop.
I know. I like doing it live. It's fun. I like when people when people comment, and we're getting more and more of that, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually I hope the show gets really big and people are constantly commenting because I think it'd be cool to have the audience interacting with us while we're doing the show.
Yeah, like a segment on the show, like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, that would be, and that's how this all started is when I was doing live streams on social media. And literally all I would do is talk about something for a few minutes and then just answer questions.
Nice.
It was pretty fun. So hopefully we'll get there. But so I was going to tell you guys, so last Friday when we were here, I think I was telling you guys how me and my daughter were going to try to go see Olivia Rodrigo, but the tickets were stupid expensive.
You ended up getting to go, I saw.
We did. Yeah. So it was kind of cool because this is actually the first time I've done this. So last week, Olivia Rodrigo was here in town, and my daughter's a pretty big fan, not super fan, and I like her music too. I think she's pretty good, right? So I wanted to take her, but the tickets were dumb expensive. The worst ticket in the place was $550.
Yeah.
Which to me is pretty insane. So I told my daughter, I said, look, tickets are expensive, but I do want to take you. Let's wait until the last minute and see if ticket prices fall. Because although tickets were expensive, there are a lot of tickets out there. And so the show started at 7:30. So we actually left the house at 7:30 when the show was starting without any tickets. Because we knew that there was an opener for about an hour. Because I can look up the set list on this website.
Mm. Were you all pretty optimistic? Or were you all just kind of
I was optimistic because there was a lot of tickets left. Because I have all four ticket brokers on my phone, and so you can see how many are we do a lot of concerts, right? So I'm always buying tickets. So at 8 o'clock, so 30 minutes after the show started, the prices just bottomed out. So we got second row tickets on the floor. Literally, there was one row in front of us, and then the pit, and then the stage. And it was unbelievable. It was so cool. And we showed up literally when we were walking through the front door, she was just starting her first song.
So were the ticket prices back to what they originally
were? They were probably about face value. So we did pay a few hundred bucks. But those tickets that we bought were probably 10 times that price the day before. Because I was looking at floor seats and I was who's going to pay $3,000 for these tickets? Right. Were literally $3,000 tickets.
They didn't
cost that much originally, but the resale value.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can believe it.
It was pretty dope because my daughter's friends had got their parents to buy them tickets. So her friends paid $700 for tickets in the second balcony. Mm-hmm. And we were literally down there right next to the stage.
Dang.
And
they
planned it the whole time.
It was pretty cool. And she was just wow, that was so awesome. We went there and we didn't even have tickets. And then we got the best seats.
That is dope.
You got some dad points.
I did, yeah. And it was fun. I honestly, the concert was really cool. Like,
she's like a mix between Avril Lavigne and Taylor Swift to me.
I agree with that. Yeah, like her songs are kind of like diverse as far as like the style or whatever.
And she's got like a little punk rock spice in her.
She does, for sure. I really like the show. I'm really glad that I went. Paramore. I even bought a t-shirt for myself.
So the play...
Maybe like a Paramore.
The play is to basically wait like 30 minutes maybe after the show, like after the doors open, and then go look at the ticket.
Dude, the ticket price is bottomed out. Now, I don't think you could do something like that for like Taylor Swift because like her demand is just so insane. Of course.
She has like a cult.
Yeah. I mean, and I like Taylor Swift too.
She has a group of followers, you know.
But I think for other shows, like for those people that are just like one rung below like the absolute best tier, like that plan worked really, really well. And my only thing I would say, and this is why I told my daughter, it may backfire and you either don't get a ticket or...
And then you'd have to, and then you can go to the Taylor Swift tribute concert that I took Avery to.
Oh, yeah.
Which
was
actually really cute.
Oh, man. We were going to do that. In fact, I was talking to Danica, my daughter, about it. It's like, well, if that doesn't pan out, you know, there's just a concert in Denton. We'll go hit it. But then I felt really good that we were going to get tickets because there were so many left, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
It was cute.
Yeah. So, I'd be a little life hack, people. if you want to go to a show at last minute, as long as you don't worry that you may not get a ticket, try buying tickets after the show's already started. But they have to have an opener, right?
Yeah.
You know, because you hate to, like, miss part of the show. Like, that would bug me. But we knew that opener was going to be an hour, so.
Yeah.
Worked out perfect. Cool. Nice. All right, let's jump into some segments. I'm kind of excited about this first segment. You know, I'd seen a couple videos lately talking about this, and so I was like, well, let me see if I can pull these videos together and make a segment out of this. And the segment is, why do young people today, and I'm talking like 20-year-olds, look old?
Oh, I saw her.
Yeah, I know, right?
I saw this video.
Yeah, right. So I got some videos I want to play for you guys and for the audience, and then we're going to discuss this. All right, so throw the first one up there, Travis.
I was humbled so quick tonight. I was on live with my boyfriend and someone was like, how old's your girlfriend? And John jokingly responds 47. And the girl comments, oh, I thought she was early 30s. I am 23.
So the first video, you got a 23-year-old gets mistaken for being 10 years older. Okay. And we're going to kind of talk about why all these things might be. But the next one's kind of the big one. So roll that next video, Travis.
Respectfully, you look like you're pushing 45. Stop getting filler or Botox, whatever you have. It looks so bad. 45? I get like, okay, maybe like late 20s, 30s. 22, yeah, shocker. When I first started TikTok and started making filler videos, like come get filler with me or Botox, I used to get these hate comments all the time. There's just people on TikTok that absolutely hate cosmetic procedures and believe that you shouldn't get them. And again, I think it's a personal preference. Like if I want to get filler, I feel like no one should stop you from getting filler because it's your own face. But people always told me that I look older and I get it. I look older. I might act older. But 45?
Oh, that one cracked me up. Now, before we dive into this, I actually went to that girl's social media and I went back as far as I could to see if I could find a picture of her where she looked more normal. And I got one that I think she looks pretty normal. But the picture, she's a couple years younger in this picture. So I want to throw up that picture. So that's that same girl.
And okay, this picture looks like her age.
Like, she's 20 in this picture. Yeah, she looks 20, I think, in that picture. And so, I want to talk about, like, the reasons that these young people, and they're not the only ones. There's other videos out there.
Well, on the flip side, I saw a video yesterday literally about the same subject except reversed. It's saying that, like, millennials my age they look better than the millennials of the previous age. Yeah. So, like, the guys, like, all the men on Cheers... that show, they were all 25 to 35 years old, and they all look so old. If you ever go look back at those pictures.
Totally.
And they look so old.
Sarah, that is so smart, and why you are the best co-host Because that was the very first thing that I was going to comment on is no one thinks about the fact that older people are looking younger today.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a fact. If you take pictures of people like in my age bracket, so like I'm a Gen Xer and so, you know, so I'm like one generation ahead of you guys. But if you take like people in my generation that are actually taking care of themselves and doing some procedures, like, I mean, I don't think a lot of people would think that I'm 50 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I haven't really done that much. I've done a little bit. But my point is that older people today are looking much younger. And so that's one of the reasons why younger people might look older, because the older people look younger, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing that I was going to say. And the reason for that is there's, and we know this from all the data, that more people are getting stuff done. You know, right. More people are aware of what's aging them. More people are taking better care of their skin. More people are getting procedures done. We can see that. Like, we see the data on that.
Yeah, I was literally at Chick-fil-A with Avery, and an 18-year-old kid came up to me and asked me how old I was.
Like, he wanted to ask you on a date?
I don't know what he was doing, but he was, like, talking to me. Like, how's your day? And I was just like...
He was chatting you up.
And then he just
That's gonna make you feel good, right?
It made me feel uncomfortable.
You're like a cougar.
I was like, dude,
I could be your mom. Kids, not quite, but
my kid's right over there playing in the playground.
So the other thing that, you know, I think is driving some young people to feel like they look older, or for others to comment they look older, is this expectation now that everyone is going to look young, right?
Yes.
I mean, some of that is genetics, right? I mean, some is genetics that some people are just going to look younger. But, you know, there's all these new treatments out there, and a lot of people are getting them. And people are expecting that everyone's going to look young. And mm-hmm. a lot of that is from, you know, social media.
Yeah.
So, and I think for her, so talking about that second girl, you know, to me, it's pretty obvious why she looks older. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to me, she just looks older because she's getting all of these procedures done that 40-year-old women get.
Bam!
So
give me a high five.
Yeah.
You're smart, girl. That's exactly right. I mean, when people get work done that's noticeable, right? Like, so either it be plastic surgery or it be fillers or Botox that's overdone. Mm-hmm. If you get that done, people are going to assume that you're older, right?
Yeah.
Because why? Because people that are in their 30s or 40s are the one that doing that. Now, the thing that I say, and I say this literally all the time, I probably say it every single show, the best plastic surgery or procedure you get done is the one no one knows you have,
uh-huh.
right? You want to get something done and look like a younger version of yourself, but not a obviously done person.
Yeah, I think it's like when people are like, there's something different about you. But yeah. You look great.
Right. You look refreshed.
Yeah.
Did you have a good night's sleep? Yeah. I mean, that's what you want to hear. Not, oh, you look so different. I mean,
not whispers. Did she get something done?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Or it could be a whisper like, did she or didn't she? Like,
yeah.
I think that's probably the best where.
Not like a nice rumor like that,
yeah.
But not
a
mean one.
Like ones where the people are like, oh, you know, she's had something done. Like
yeah.
That girl in the video. And, you know, and I don't want to dog on this girl. I mean. You know, if you want to go and stick a bunch of filler in your lips or your face, I mean, go for it. It's your body. But when I look at her, so I guess that's a good question, is how old would I have said that girl is in the second video had I not known that she was 22?
I wouldn't say she was 45. I would have thought
she
was my age.
I would have said mid-30s.
Yeah, my age.
Yeah, mid-30s. I think probably, you know how the internet is, people always... or extra mean, right? So they probably really thought she was 35. But I mean, that's bad. If someone's saying that you look 10 years older than you actually are, I mean, something's wrong. I mean,
yeah,
that's problematic. The other big thing I think that drives this, you know, is absolutely social media, which we touched on, you know, earlier.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like, take a look at Kylie Jenner. She's,
yeah.
I mean, she gets all of the work done that all of her sisters get done, but she's...
Yeah, she's much younger. And we talked about her before that she does look older. I mean,
she does.
But it's because she's overdone. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, if there's one take home from this, you know, segment, it's if you get overdone and you are young, people are going to think you're older. Now,
yeah.
If you look a little bit overdone, if you're, say, 40, you know, somebody my age bracket, 40s, gets a little bit overdone, I mean, they're probably going to think you're in your 40s. But they'll still, you know you're overdone. But if you do it when you're young, like, people are going to think you're old. I mean, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But like for social media, the two things I kind of wanted to point out that might be driving this trend for young people to either think they look older or get accused of looking older. I think the filters play a part. You know, so many people are using filters, and it kind of resets your mind that, you know, people are really younger than they are, which can make people feel older. And then also a lot of these really popular influencers on social media, they look super young. A lot of them do. And I think that also makes people think that, you know, a young person should look, like, perfect, right?
Yeah, well, like, coming from, like, whenever I was a little girl, it's, like, one of the things that, like, you reach, there's, like, this age when you're a little girl and, like, a preteen, that you're, like, I don't want to look like a little girl anymore.
Yeah.
And so they go through this phase, and I think it's just more accessible now because social media.
Yeah, totally.
And you're like, now I know, now I have all of these videos to tell me how to look older.
Right.
And all these ways to
look. You have all this information.
But like whenever I was a little girl and I wanted to look older, I couldn't go on the internet and be like, what can I do to look older? It was just me looking at my sisters and like trying to mimic them. So I was just learning from my sisters.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't learning from Kylie Jenner.
Now you have a wealth of information out there to accomplish that.
Yeah.
And,
so
and people
that's
are doing
definitely
it.
Happening.
But then sometimes it backfires because they're like, they're getting accused of being 10 or 20 years older than
Like I have to stop Avery. Like Avery wants to put all that crap on her face. And I have to, like, I'm like, why are you doing this?
Like makeup or a clean cleanser?
Like skincare routines, stuff like that.
Yeah, she's a little early. My daughter's, like, right about the age to start up. Your daughter's a little early to start
Oh,
that.
For sure. Yeah. I bought her, like, these little, like, super organic soaps.
Right, so she can go through the motions.
That
look that's
cute.
Good. That's a good.
That she does.
Oh, that's your good mom.
But, yeah. She'll try. She pushes.
All right, guys, I want to do a quick recap on this segment. So today on Nip Talk, we were talking about this phenomenon where young people are getting accused of looking much older. And this is a really good segment, so I encourage you to check it out. I think the biggest thing that's making these young people look older is they're getting overdone with either fillers or plastic surgery, and people expect that the person that's going to do that is an older person. So if you go get overdone, people are going to think you're older than you are. Also, too, older people are looking younger these days. There's a lot of older people, maybe in my age bracket, that are doing stuff and they look so much younger. So when a young person gets something that makes them look a bit older, then they seem that much older. So I think if you want to stay looking young, if you're a young person, skincare is important. Protect yourself from the sun. Don't smoke because that will definitely age you. And then finally, some treatments are okay, and we've done segments on that. But the biggest thing is don't overdo the treatments. It will make you look older. Hmm. So, all right.
Good stuff.
Good one. I think that's a good segment. I actually really like that. That one was kind of fun to do, and I think there's some good information in there. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely.
All right. I got a kind of a fun segment coming up, and I know Travis is super excited about this because he knows what's coming up. And I don't want to spoil the surprise.
Let's get all the pictures.
I got a I want to do a segment. This is based on an article. So this segment is nipple reduction in men and other weird plastic surgeries. And so I got the idea from Sarah laughing. You know who
that
is?
Like, yeah, I know who that is. But I'm like, he has tiny nipples.
Right. So I got this segment from an article that popped up. I think it was New York Post. Throw it up there, Travis, people want to look at it. Yeah. I think this is New York Post. You can look it up. New York City men paying plastic surgeons five large for almond-shaped nipples like David Beckham's, a growing trend. So I want to say that there is a misprint or misrepresentation in that title. It's not the nipples that people are getting done. It's the areolas. And this is a really common confusion. So, you know, on the breast, whether it be a man or woman, there's the nipple, and then the areola is the pigmented skin around it.
Yes.
So what those people are paying for is to have small almond-shaped areolas, not nipples. Now, I have seen that there are some people doing nipple surgeries. It's not super common, but like if people have really large nipples, they might get them reduced.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually augment them if you want to, you know, there are certain things you can do that, which that also would be a very weird surgery. But yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, is that, I can, Sarah, I mean, as a woman, like if you're looking at a man and, you know, do you look at their areolas? Is that something that you, you know, are?
I mean, sure. If that's, if they are abnormally large,
okay.
I guess that would be something that I'd be like, what's going on?
Okay. Trellis, I mean, all right, reverse it. For women, is areola size, is that like important to you as a man? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, you are fine. No, it is not. It's not like something that I like pay a lot of attention to.
I will say that when people have large areolas, it does tend to, especially for women, it gives an impression of older age, right? Because that's a more common thing as women age. For men, like, I don't know. I haven't even ever really thought about men's areolas, except for one exception. One exception is that when I do the gynecomastia surgeries, where
do you reduce the areola size?
I will sometimes if they're large, because what happens is when men get, so gynecomastia is the man boobs. We've talked about that in the past. If men get breast tissue enough, it will stretch out the areolas. And they do look, it looks abnormal on men. And so I don't know, maybe that's what they're talking about in this article. Maybe it's gynecomastia guys that want to have small areolas, which makes total sense.
I highly doubt it. I think they probably...
You think it's like very picky men?
Absolutely.
But it is New York City.
Yeah. In the society that we live in, I'd be willing to bet that they just look at themselves like they have probably the most normal areola and they're like, I just want a small
one. Dude, I want to get in on that action. That surgery is super easy to do. Like, I can knock that out of the park. Like, because I do so much breast surgery.
Just go to UNT College area.
Men in Dallas. Men in Dallas, if you want your areola smaller, I'll do it. And I'll charge you less than $5. Large. I mean, I promise. Like that's New York City dollars. Like, I can make this affordable for you.
What would the process be for this?
So it's real simple, man. So you determine how large you want that areola to be. And we use cookie cutters, so it's a perfect circle. Or I can freehand a perfect circle if I need to.
Oh, wow.
And then, so you draw that. So that's going to be inside the borders of the areola. And then you go right outside the current border of the areola and make another incision. So it's two circular incisions, one inside of another.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take out the rim in between, and then you just close it up.
Okay.
And then you have to use certain suture, right, because you don't want it to re-stretch out. So there is, you know, a little bit more to it. But the surgery...
But they don't even want a perfect circle. They want almond.
That could be done. That actually would be, you know, you'd have to be a little bit more thoughtful in how you did the closures. But, I mean, that could be done, too. Like, that's not undoable. So yeah, I mean, I'm all for. I would do this surgery like in a heartbeat.
We're gonna be walking around Denton, and men are gonna be like, my nipples are
areolas
sensitive.
By Herman.
Just like all these men walking around.
Areolas by Herman.
Yeah, I'm gonna get in on that.
No hugs today, please.
Yeah, no hugs. No. Yeah, I'm a little sensitive today. Okay, so the next one. Have you guys ever heard of dimpleplasties?
No.
I've heard of people wanting dimples right here.
Yeah. Yes. Making dimples for people that don't have them. And hold on. Well, you're gonna have to skip. I had a picture of Beckham that I was gonna show, but we can skip over that. We already finished that. You guys saw his areolas. They're nice. He has nice areolas. All right, moving on. Dimpleplasty. Show that picture, Trellis. Yeah, here we go. So this is from Dr. Villargo. Just got this off his website. He's a plastic surgeon in New Orleans, and this is an example of him doing a dimpleplasty. And I have to say that, you know, it looks pretty reasonable.
It does. It looks natural. I've seen some. I actually have heard of this. Yeah, I've seen some where they don't look quite as natural.
Hats off to Dr. Villargo, because I do think that's very nice work.
Doesn't a rapper have that? Like Nicki Minaj or like one of those girl rappers that has like, she has really, really
pronounced dimples. I know somebody has piercings. I know somebody does have like piercings.
Might be a piercing.
To where like, but I don't know a rapper that has the actual surgery. Yeah, right. Okay. Maybe though.
I thought that she did. I forget.
This surgery's not overly complicated. It would involve making an incision, suturing the underside of the skin, pulling it down to the muscle layer. And then, you know, what would happen is over time that suture would scar in. It would make a dimple. I would probably pass on doing these. My concern is the unpredictability of it. You could totally get an instance where one didn't work as well, and it was noticeably different than the other, or if they move their face a lot, the stitch breaks, and then it just doesn't work. And it is on the face, so it's very, very visible. And I personally, even though I could do this, I wouldn't do it because now as I've gotten older, like I'm busy enough that I don't need to take on things that potentially could, you know, leave you with an unhappy patient.
And that Sarah, like you said, I do have dimples, but these are not, I did not have a procedure.
Are those dimpleplasties?
They are not, I promise you. Jesus is my plastic surgeon.
Jesus is your plastic surgeon. God, that's a pretty good one. Yeah. It does good work.
Absolutely.
All right, so the next one, the weird surgery, this one is a little odd, belly button surgeries. I mean, you commonly don't think of people...
For people that have, like, outies?
Yeah. That's one of them. So there's a few things that this could relate to. And some of these I have done, others I've not. So right off the bat, Sarah nailed one, which is an Audi. Now, a lot of times when people have an Audi, it can be due to a hernia. Yeah. So a hernia is a medical condition. I used to repair tons of umbilical hernias when I was in general surgery. I still repair them occasionally now if I find them. Mm. So that's basically where when, you know, you're in the womb, you got blood flow coming from the mom, from the placenta to the baby, and it comes in the belly button. That's what the belly button is. It's where your nutrients come from when you're in the womb. And so there's a natural space there where that flows through. Well, it's supposed to shut down after you're born, and most of the time it does, but not always, or it makes a weak spot, and then over the years you get a protrusion of the fat in your intra-abdominal cavity pushing through that, which can make an Audi.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's not every Audi. Some people just have an Audi just due to how that skin formed, you know, when that thing closed up.
Yeah.
But that would be one reason people get belly button surgery. One that I've done is when people have really bad scars from piercings.
Oh, okay. Belly button piercings. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of women that are like, because I work out a lot, and there's a lot of women that are like so, they have such like small body fat that they have Audis.
Yeah, so they probably have a little hernia. Like, the bigger you are, the more hernias hide. And so when I do tons of abdominoplasties, and I, you know, so I see tons of consults for them, and I'm always checking people for umbilical hernias, because the bigger you are, the more likely you won't know that you have it. But yes, if you're very fit, they do show
up. And then especially the women that have had children and are very fit. Like, they were very fit when they got pregnant and continued to stay.
And the reason for that is as the uterus expands, the intra-abdominal pressure increases, and it puts pressure on that weak spot where that person had, you know, their umbilical cord when they were a baby. That leaves a weak spot. So it's really common after pregnancy for people to develop an umbilical hernia. They're generally not dangerous unless they're just obscene. So, you know, if you feel like you have a little umbilical hernia that you can't see, I mean, I probably wouldn't mess. In fact, I have one, really tiny. And it's from when I used to lift weights a lot. I used to really lift a lot of weights, believe it or not. This is many years ago. But that huge amount of intra-abdominal pressure did the same thing as what pregnancy did to women. Now, you can't see mine. I can just feel it. I know it's there. But, like, I'm probably not going to do anything about it because it's not getting bigger and doesn't bother me. And you can't see it. So, but, yeah, belly button surgery. So as far as what I do these... and the last one is, it for the rare instances where people have something catastrophic happen from surgery and they don't have a belly button and they want to create one. I've done that once. That surgery sucks. It's really hard to make a belly button look very natural if you're creating it perfectly from scratch from a sheet of skin. I would probably recommend you do 3D tattooing if you don't have a belly button from, you know, where that's common people get them is like when they have some sort of trauma surgery.
Right.
Or they have some other surgery that goes really badly, and then the belly button gets lost, which occasionally happens, not common. I probably recommend people get a 3D tattoo if they.
I would just like not have a belly button.
It looks so odd, though. Like, I mean, it. I mean, and if you don't have a belly button and that's you're fine with that, then okay, you have a belly button, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you, like, had some trauma or something. I was, like, dogging on you for wanting to have a belly button. No, you know, to me, as a plastic surgeon, if I see somebody that doesn't have a belly button, it does look weird to me.
Yeah, because that's, like, a sign that you're human. That you
right.
came...
If you don't have a belly button, you...
That's what I'm saying. Like, you just
or
don't...
Or clone.
You yeah, you just don't have a belly button and be like, you put two and two together.
Yep, definitely a clone or a robot. Okay, tongue bifurcation. We talked about this one at some point in some segment, I think a year or
elf
two
ears,
ago.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it. It's coming up.
Oh.
This is the tongue bifurcation. So show the picture, Travis. Yeah, so this is where people want to split their tongue. You know, if you're going to do this, I do think it's a good idea to have a surgeon do it because I've heard that some tattoo parlors doing this, which is a really bad idea.
And that guy has braces and the... And the
bands, yeah.
And the bands.
Like, all in there, yeah, yeah.
That's a lot going on.
That's
there.
That's a pretty young person there.
Yeah.
Probably 18 or 19. So, I personally wouldn't do this. I mean, not that I think it's bad. I mean, I guess my biggest concern is person might be unhappy down the road, you know, because it affects your speech
Is it easy to go back?
It wouldn't be that hard to do it. Like, the tongue would probably never look exactly the same because... You know, once you split it and you sew it and it heals, it is going to change it permanently a little bit. Now, you could reform it. I mean, you could do that. But yeah, I'm kind of out on this one. I mean, and not that I think that it's bad. If you want to go have your tongue split, I mean, go for it. I would go to a surgeon, not like a tattoo parlor to do it. I just, anything where there may be problems down the road, I'm a little iffy about.
Yeah, I've only seen one person that ever has had that.
And I went, like, you saw
and I went
person?
To like a circus freak show.
Oh, it was like
with the lizard man.
The lizard man, right. Yeah, that's, yeah, you see that a lot.
Yeah.
Like the punk culture, sometimes people do it. All right, and here it is, Trelvis. You know what it is. It's the elf ear.
I'm excited.
Have you seen this picture?
I've never seen
it. That picture, I think, is fake.
It looks fake.
We did a segment on this right before you came on the show because Elon Musk X, which is Grimes, was asking online about, does anyone know that does elf ear surgery? And I was like, elf ear surgery? So I looked that up. I couldn't find a surgeon that advertised that they actually did it. But I'm going to tell myself, I'm a big Lord of the Rings nerd, and I actually don't like the look. I mean, I don't mind the look of that. I think it looks kind of cool. You know, a lot of people look at that and be like, okay, freak show or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I kind of like that elf ear look.
It's
I
not think bad. It's not terrible. Like, yeah, I don't know something about it.
I'd rather have that than that weird tongue thing.
Yeah. And so, you know, could you do that? Yes, you could. You know, I've done trauma surgery on ears. It's easy to clip the cartilage. It's easy to reshape things. So knowing that, it wouldn't be hard to shape the ear cartilage into that point. And I tell you, and I know this because I've been thinking about this ever since we've done this segment, like, could I pull this off? Like, the hardest part would be getting that cusp on the lobe of the ear to look right. Because you'd have to, like, bend the cartilage, and you'd run the risk of the cartilage not necessarily surviving, and you'd have to fold the skin over it. So it'd be a pretty technical operation, which you could totally pull it off. I just would be concerned if there would be any complications from it. Because I'm really tempted to, like, put on my website that I would do elf ear surgery because I think people would probably show up for it.
Yeah, there you'd have a lot of people with, like, their little attachments that they wear that you can wear and be like, I want it to look like this.
I think it'd be kind of fun to do. I just, you know, there's not any really data out there on it. And so, man, it's so hard to, like, be that first person to say, yeah.
Some of my friends have them.
Elf ears?
Not, like, real ones.
Oh.
Like, the little attachments.
Oh, the attachments.
Can,
okay, I didn't understand. I thought you were talking about
they. I didn't know that. I went with them to that Renaissance fair.
Yeah. Oh,
and
totally.
Like all of a sudden I like get out of the car and they're like, I'm like, oh,
dude, if I could do elf ear surgery, I would just take my business cards to Scarborough Fair,
The
Ren Fair. And people would be beating down my door.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people. I think there's
that
so
live that life.
There's so many like, people I think would do that surgery. Like when I say so many, I mean, probably not enough to keep every plastic surgeon in the country busy, but there'd be enough to keep one plastic surgeon in Dallas busy doing elf ears, I think. But I don't know.
Well, Denton's really weird. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I advertised for it, I would get people coming. It's just that there's no real research out there on doing it. So, you know, you'd be basically doing one of the first ones. And if it went great, you'd be, you know, the messiah of elf ears, you know, in the plastic surgery world. If it goes bad, then...
I think a lot of people play, what's that one game? Is it Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh, dude, I love Dungeons & Dragons.
Right. I think a lot of people play that. Yeah,
they literally have a Dungeons & Dragons type bar in Denton.
Oh, really?
D20.
Yeah, D20. Yeah, okay. I've been there. I haven't actually played a game there. I would love to get, like, a regular D&D game going, but I just don't have time. Like,
I've never
when I get
played
older,
that game.
Some of the coworkers here, they play.
Do they?
They have different, I don't know what you would call it, but they play in different groups.
Yeah.
It's not like the same group, but they do play. So I think that will probably be like another like big crowd that will probably like utilize it.
I'm telling
you,
man, I may have to get into this.
Absolutely.
It could be like my specialty. The elf ears. We're going to keep talking about this until I do it. All right. Moving on. So this one's about you, Sarah. Thank you for letting us do the segment because...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like your personal life or whatever. So Sarah had her first Botox experience.
Yeah, there's my face.
Yep. And we have a video about it. I guess let's roll the video first.
Yeah.
This is from this is from Sarah's YouTube channel, which I encourage everyone to check out.
Yeah, everything's rosy.
Everything's rosy. She has a great YouTube channel. I watch it myself. So if you are new to the show and didn't know she had it, please check it out. But this is a video that you created. So I guess roll it up, Travis. What's up, Sarah? You decided to come finally to the office. from the show. I'm so happy
to
see you.
I'm nervous. It took me a while to actually make.
And you want to do Botox, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so as I've said before on the show, like Botox is probably the best thing that anyone can do if you want to like stay looking young further into your years. And like you're right at the right time to do it because you're early 30s. I don't want to say your age.
34.
Okay, that's a good time. In fact, some people would even start it earlier because at that age, people start to get these little lines in their forehead and between their eyebrows. And if you don't stop from that happening, eventually they will become permanent. Yeah. But no, I think this is great that you're starting the Botox. And I'm just gonna go out on a limb here, but I'm gonna bet that you really like it because most people who try this see the results so clearly. They're like, wow, this is
I told some of my friends that I was going to go do it today, and they're like, well, tell me what it feels like. And I'm like, okay.
So you're nervous about the sticks. Okay, yeah. So we do use the smallest needles that you can use. Right. They're the needles that people give themselves insulin shots with, so they are small. You know, if you're not a needle person, yes, it will give you a little bit of stress, but most of it's just doing it the first time. You're like, okay, well, that wasn't terrible, but...
I don't have a weird fear of
okay, you'll probably be just fine. So, just a couple things about the Botox. So, one, it is very safe. You know, you might get a bruise. But outside of that, I personally don't see much as far as issues. Like, bruising to me is the biggest one. It does take a couple days to start working, so you won't see your results tonight. It'll probably be, you know, 2 or 3 days when you really start to see it kick in.
Okay,
are you about ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do it. Okay, Sarah, so the first thing we do when we're about to do Botox is we clean your skin. This is just an alcohol pad. It will get off any dirt, bacteria, things like that. Okay, you ready?
Yeah. All right.
All right. You're gonna do fine. All right, so I will tell you exactly what I'm doing here, okay? So the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have you squeeze your eyebrows together. So squeeze those eyebrows together. Okay, perfect. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at these muscles because I want to target them specifically. Okay, you can relax now. All right, you're gonna feel a little pinch. That's about the worst of it. Good. Squeeze them together one more time and relax. You'll hear crunching, that's normal.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Yep, squeeze your eyebrows together, relax. The crunching is the needle going through the fascia of the muscle. You can actually hear it. Perfect. Okay, next I want you to lift your eyebrows up, and I want you to hold them up, okay? Hold them up, a couple sticks right there. Once again, same thing, I'm targeting the individual muscle bands very specifically. That way you get the most accurate distribution of this that you can. Perfect, doing great. All right, lift them up one more time. And one more time, lift them up. Perfect. That's it, you're done. How was it? Tell me. Was it terrible?
No.
You could feel it like a little bit, but it's not too bad.
Yeah, I felt it a little bit, but it didn't hurt.
Yeah, the needles are really, really small. Okay. Yeah, you're about done.
Nice.
Cool?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Sarah's Botox experience. So, So what'd you think? I mean, it wasn't too bad, right?
No, it was cool. Yeah. It was funny because I did, whenever you were telling, like, whenever you're putting the Botox in my head, you were like, you're going to hear a crunch. And I was like, oh, because I did. And it kind of was like, that's different.
Yeah, so that the crunch that people hear when they're getting Botox is that needle hitting the fascia. Mm-hmm. And so it gives a little, I can feel it. I can't hear it. But
it almost sounded to me like ice breaking.
Yeah, I can't hear it when I do it, but I can feel it.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a layer of fascia over the muscle, and so when you go through the skin and the fat with the needle, it sails right through. But then you get that fascia, and there's resistance.
Yeah.
And so it's like a, and you can feel it because of the vibration, like the
I can hear it. I think it's just me feeling it.
It is. Yeah. But yeah, so Sarah did her glabella in her forehead, which are the most common areas, and you're still a little early. So we just
I can
did this,
tell more up here.
Yeah, we just did this 2 days ago, so her Botox hasn't really hit full stride yet. I mean, I would say on day two, you can start to see. So you're day two today from having it done. You can start to see it, but really you need to be about 3 or 4 before it's going to hit full effect. So you're still a little bit early. But your forehead looks nice and smooth. I mean, you always look good, but I mean, I can see a difference already.
Yeah.
Just because your forehead is just so, like, perfect.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How long does it like last?
Yeah, that's a great question. So if you've never had Botox before, you can expect about 3, maybe 4 months, okay? Mm. But the good news is that the more you use Botox, the longer it lasts. And if you use it regularly, you can get about 6 months out of it. So my wife, who's been getting Botox forever, we do hers twice a year.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah.
So see, that's what I want to get to.
Me not understanding how it works, I probably would have thought, like, the more you use it, the more you have to come back, like, the faster it kind of dissolves out. I didn't realize the more you use it.
That would be a very common thing to believe because people often will think of it like drugs, right? Like, alcohol. Let's say alcohol. Right. The more alcohol you drink, like, the more you have to drink to get the effect.
Right.
So the reason this is different is because Botox is a neurotoxin. It paralyzes your muscles and it keeps it from working. Well, have you ever seen somebody that's, like, you know, been in an accident and paralyzed in a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
Like, their legs get really small. Why? Because their muscles are atrophying. Like, because the muscles aren't used, they're getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
Right.
And so, you know, the more you use it, the longer the effect is. But it has a time frame limit because, you know, like, there's still some, you know, signals going to the muscle. So they'll never completely paralyze them like somebody who's had, like, a spinal cord injury. Right. Like, it'll always be able to come back eventually. But
I think it'll take long for my brow muscle to
work because
I can give myself tension headaches from
I'm gonna ask you in a month or so. I guarantee you, that's a strong word. No, I'm gonna say it. I guarantee you, you're gonna tell me you have less headaches.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because I like if that's I stare guarantee. At my screen too long or if I'm like just very like highly concentrated doing something, I can give myself tension headaches easy.
Yeah.
Especially like if I'm driving in traffic. I know that I've been in the car for way too long because I just feel like, you know.
Yeah, the tension.
Yeah, in my head.
Yeah, we don't advertise that when we talk about Botox, but it's absolutely true that if you suffer from headaches and you get Botox, you will have less headaches. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had so many people tell me that over the years. So, just a couple things to recap about your video. Once again, thanks for doing it. So Sarah did glabella and forehead. The other area that's very popular is the crow's feet right here. I'm a big fan of just doing Botox in those three areas. Those are kind of the ones that are recommended by the manufacturers. There are people using Botox in other areas. I personally don't do that, but I know some of the girls that work for me do. Just be a little cautious about doing Botox outside of those areas because it has different effects and you really want to understand it. So I personally don't do them. I don't think it's bad, but it's just not my thing. You know, I do, once again, I'll say this again. I really believe Botox is probably the easiest thing that people can do to keep looking younger as they get older.
Yeah.
And I don't say that because I get anything really out of doing Botox. Like, our margins on Botox are thin. Like, it's not like a big money maker. Like, I say that just because it's such a good product.
Yeah.
So things to think about if you're going to do Botox. First one is, do you get Botox or do you get one of the off brands, which is like Dysport, Zimmen, and Jeuveau? So I've used all of the products. I have to say I like Botox the best. I'm not saying that to dog the other ones. I just have had people that went from Botox to one of the other ones have like minor, I don't want to say complaints, concerns maybe. I do think they work. I really think they're all fairly equivocal. It's like Chevy or Ford. I just prefer Botox. That's just me. Where to go, like a doctor versus a nurse injector? It's hard sometimes to get into doctors because, like, once again, the margins are thin and, like, my time is not well spent doing Botox. Now, for you, I will always do it.
You told me to make sure you were there.
Yeah, I wanted to do yours. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely wanted to do yours. I mean, there's some fantastic injectors out there. I would say that, you know, if you're going to a plastic surgeon, you're almost certainly going to get a great outcome. With injectors, it can be hit or miss, you know, because there are some injectors that aren't quite as skilled. There are some different ways to do the forehead. And so, you know, it's good to talk to the doctor about, like, do you want, like, a more complete look, but it will give you, you know, less motion versus the standard look. You know, we just did standard on you, and then sometimes we'll change it. Like, you may look at it and be like, oh, my eyebrows are too arched.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah. You said that I would notice my eyebrows being arched. I kind of can see it.
Yeah, they might arch a tiny bit more, before it's all done. Oh, also too, when we're talking about Botox, you know, my nurse did trap talks the other day. We've talked about that, the Barbie Botox, the trap talks.
What? What's that?
Oh, we've talked about that, the Barbie. Oh, maybe I did the interview. Oh, I, you know what? I did media interviews on that.
Oh, okay.
I thought we talked about it on the show. So trap talks or Barbie Botox is where they put Botox in the trapezius muscle to give you a slimmer neck, allegedly. I thought it was total BS, like honestly. I just didn't think it was really going to work that good, but we had some Botox rep brought some samples, so my nurse did the trap talks. And so, you know, after like enough time went by, I was like, okay, what do you think? She's like, well, I don't think it really changed the shape of my neck at all, but she said it did relieve some of the stress in her shoulders and neck.
Yeah, that's something to think about because that's your shoulders is where you carry a lot of stress.
It's just the problem with the trap toss is expensive. It takes like 100 units.
Yeah, this is a huge muscle.
Yeah, it's 100 units to do it. And so that's going to run you at least a grand.
Yeah.
For something that lasts, you know, a few months. And
I would say go get a massage.
Yeah, I would say that too. That's probably a better way to do it.
So. Yeah.
But anyway, that's about it as far as the Botox segment. Once again, thank you for letting us share. I know it's kind of digging in your personal life.
No, it was cool.
And please, if you haven't checked it out, please check out Sarah's YouTube channel at Everything's Rosie.
Yes.
Get it from. So I think that's all the time we have today. Please leave us a comment, let you know what you think about these segments, and join us next week back here on Nip Talk.